I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
About you got to put it in
perspective. I love this awesome rockin' party. It's huge.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Good morning. Can I take your order?
Can I get a tall chai?
And a large black coffee.
A what?
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
He means a venti. Yeah, the biggest one you got.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20.
Danny.
Yeah. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
Look, Dick. Venti is a large coffee.
Really? Says who? Fellini?
How much is that? Here's a 10.
Do you fix up lira or is it all
euros? You know what? Just keep the change.
And now,
coming to you live right here in beautiful Los Angeles,
our feature presentation.
Yes, we are. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 31st of July.
How long you been here there, Kevin?
About 12 seconds.
Oh, that's nice.
Saying it was less?
Yeah.
About 6 seconds.
What's going on, man?
You know.
No, tell me. What's going on?
You know.
Help me understand it.
You know.
It's Monday.
How long have you worked with me?
A long time, but I still don't understand how this can be the way you live your life.
Kev Dog.
Kev Dog.
Doing the best I can, man.
I mean.
It's hard out there for a pimp, you know?
I've heard that, yeah.
Allie, how long have you been working here now?
Like 2.5 years.
What's the closest you think you've ever cut it to being on the air at 5:30?
Probably 15 minutes, and it freaked me out. It's like, no, why am I so late?
Here's the thing, though. No one knows unless Bean brings it up.
That is true.
So thanks for the help.
For all we know, you were in the other room prepping.
That's what I was. Yes.
And by, I don't know what prepping means prepping. In this case, but.
Yes, that's what was happening.
Sounds dirty.
Well, Kevin, Jesus knows, okay? Jesus knows.
Wow.
Hey, I want to talk about Saturday night because I had a, believe it or not, I left the house on Saturday night. There was a little get-together at my mother-in-law's. My brother-in-law was coming by with his new girlfriend to meet the family, so we had a little bit of a cookout. And I got home pretty late from that because you know how I rage.
And by pretty late, you mean?
It was
6:15?
Yeah. No, it was like 8:30.
Oh, my God.
It's like 8:30. And I knew the fight was on Saturday night. And I thought, oh, I'm gonna get the fight. I can't wait for the fight. I'm excited about the fight. And then when I got home, it was 8:30, maybe 8:15. I thought, you know what? The main event probably doesn't start until 10.
Right.
Was that about right, would you guess? Roughly?
A little earlier.
A little early, maybe. Yeah, 9:30-ish.
And I'm like, there's no way I'm staying up another hour before the main event. So I thought, well, you know what? I'll wait. And then in the morning, once I see what happens, I'll determine whether it's worth getting the fight or not.
Right.
And then I woke up, and first thing, I see the sad news that DC lost. And I thought, well, now I'm just bummed out. Now I don't want to watch that because I like him so much and I was rooting for him so much. I just decided not to watch it.
Right.
But then I start reading all about it and reading all about the controversy about the interview and everything like that. And now I feel like I really missed out. So I wanted to hear from you guys, since both of you got the fight this weekend. Tell me what I missed.
What was the controversy? I don't even know what that
Joe
was.
Rogan interviewing him.
Oh,
right
after. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put
that in context for me, Allie, because is there a policy that you're not supposed to interview people who get knocked out because of the concussions and it's embarrassing for them?
I don't want to speak out of turn, but I was almost positive Joe had his own policy.
Yes.
He never wants to interview someone after a knockout. That's his thing.
That's what it sounded like, is that was his own rule.
Yeah, but then he thought, and I watched it afterwards, he said he really felt like he needed to give Daniel the time to say something, but I don't think he realized how out of it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, is because I have not seen any, they clamped down that UFC stuff pretty tight, so I have not seen that speech, and it might be troubling to see it, but what kind of shape was Daniel in?
I mean,
was he making sense?
I don't know. It was a mixture of he had gotten knocked out and also he couldn't have been more devastated.
He couldn't have been more devastated. And at one point, like, they were trying to keep him away from where John Bones Jones was. But he was, like, aggressive trying to get in there because he was, I think, so out of it. I'm not sure if he thought they were going to keep going or what was happening. So it wasn't even his team. I don't think they're allowed in the ring at that point. So it's just dudes in suits holding him back. But then
he didn't look like he was going to fight.
At the beginning, he just looked like, I don't know what's happening.
Right.
But then he was crying and Joe Rogan asked, is he the real champion? He said, he's beat me twice. He is.
What about the rivalry? Yeah, is what he asked. Yeah. He's like, there's no rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
There's
no rivalry. Twice. Yeah. It was very sad to see.
It was.
I was impressed with Jones's comments, though, he did nothing but rave about DC, though.
No, it was all class from him.
Model champion, model husband, model father, teammate. I aspire to be more like him, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Not buying that.
Kevin's
by the
rolling
way.
His eyes.
Really?
No.
You think that was sincere?
Nope.
Really?
He hates Cormier. You know that.
See, here's the thing.
Remember when he was in the studio?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked him, hey, are you going to be able to put everything behind you?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I'd be able to. And then Bean or somebody said, hey, a couple of nights ago, you said the FDC. And then he completely flipped and started saying FDC.
But did you hear what he said off air? That's not going to sell fights.
Yeah.
It's all a game to these guys. That's all it is.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
It's all BS.
I don't buy it from him.
It's all
BS.
That's
what I'm saying. I think his speech afterwards was all BS as well.
I think the whole rivalry was BS.
Really?
I think Cormier hated him. For sure.
Yeah.
But I don't...
I don't think it was all BS before... I don't know. I don't know. I don't trust John.
See, I did. I believed everything he said
after
that
fight. Because you were looking deep into his eyes.
And his pillowy lips.
Supple lips. It's true.
I don't think I've ever been more emotionally tied to a fight and bummed afterwards. Like, I was like, oh... And he was doing great.
Amazing.
I heard the first two rounds were fantastic.
Cormier was a man on a mission, and he was a much better fighter than I've ever seen him before.
He looked different than he ever did, right?
Yes. But made one mistake and then paid for it.
Man.
And that one mistake is getting hit in the head with a dude's foot.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about that, too. John Bones Jones' legs are they're like chicken legs. They're so skinny and so long, but the force behind those things.
Right. It's a great kick.
Lord.
And I think it was his shin that hit Daniel Cormier's head.
Yeah.
Daniel Cormier, after the fight, said, they told me I got hit with a kick. He didn't even realize it.
All right, two more questions. Is John Jones the greatest MMA fighter of all time?
Yeah.
I mean, I think so. If he keeps doing this, I would assume that would
be
a
slam
dunk.
How about a guy who's beaten every name in the game and has never lost except the one they took away from him, right? How about that?
Yeah, maybe.
And two, when he called out to the surprise of many Brock Lesnar after the fight, who's like 65 years old.
Right.
What's that about? Is it because he doesn't see any other better competitors in the UFC right now?
I don't know what that's about. I assume that they had tried to figure out how he could make the most money.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be the most
And so
money
that's
for
how
sure.
you choose who you want to fight, I imagine. I don't know.
But my understanding is Brock Lesnar is not even like on the clock to come back to the UFC.
And he's not eligible because he's still suspended.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's still suspended. Yeah. He has to do certain things in order to start the clock ticking and then wait a year. So I guess Jones is continuing with his only fighting once a year strategy that he's been employing the last few years.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is pretty smart, by the way, if you make enough money. By the way, DC got $1 million plus a cut of the pay-per-view for Saturday night.
I was happy about that.
So hopefully that eases the sting a little bit.
And John Jones got $500,000.
$500,000, so, yeah, exactly.
I was happy about that, yeah.
Oh, my God, that sucks.
Well, it sounds like Allie's happy.
What?
What?
About Jones winning? Sounds like you flipped.
No, I said it on the air when he was in here. I was not expecting to like you.
Who were you rooting for then?
Cormier.
You were.
100%.
Okay.
Absolutely. But then I saw those pillowy lips when he came out.
Right?
And I was like, all right, let's do this, John.
And by let's do this, you mean?
Let's fight.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Doesn't concern me. I don't care at all.
Okay. All right. Oh. Good. We have a new feature today called Hey, Kevin and Bean.
I'm a little bit nervous about this.
Uh-oh.
Not sure I like it.
Same. So that's going to happen today. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have TMZ like we do on Mondays.
We're going to get to the bottom of where Harvey Levin is, by the way.
Right?
I mean,
is this the third week?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, besides Trump's pocket. What?
What?
You heard him here first.
Plus an in-studio visit from Lana Del Rey.
Obviously.
Fun fact about Lana Del Rey, by the way. She went to Fordham University in New York. Good school.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your friend Denzel Washington went, Alan McKay.
Oh.
The great Vin Scully went there.
Oh.
Vince Lombardi.
Wow. The Trump guy?
Alan Alda. And Donald J. Trump.
No.
All went to Fordham University.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good education, apparently.
I'll say.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Kevin and Bean.
You guys suck. Both you guys suck.
LA and OC's alternative rock. K-Rock.
Six Flags Magic Mountain, Six Flags Hurricane Harbor, San Diego Zoo, San Diego Safari Park, Knott's Berry Farm, and Knott's Oak City. We're giving away tickets to all of those. You win tickets to every one of those theme parks at one time. One
person. You have to go on the same day.
I don't think that's
every single park in one day.
I think you get to spread it around a little bit, but we have that couple chances for you to win all of that this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That sounds like a pretty fun way to spend your summer. And, of course, another chance to win at krock.com, so keep listening for that. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
Welcome to Monday, my friend. How are you?
It is a Monday morning. That's why we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dunkirk, once again, won the war of the box office.
Yay!
Right? Because that's a war film. And then World War II. And then this. And then also in battling.
Ralph.
Well, I'm sorry.
This was a success.
$28.1 million in its second week. Kept it at number one. But it was neck and neck towards the end there. The Emoji Movie.
I heard it's the best movie of the year.
Debuted with $25.7 million in its opening weekend, and so it was right behind Dunkirk.
Did people not listen to you on Friday, Ralph? What happened?
No. Here's the thing. You have children, and the children say, I want to go to see this movie, and then you go.
Yeah.
That's the dynamic there. That's why these movies are often bulletproof, because a six-year-old doesn't know how annoying T.J. Miller is, or how this is a ripoff, and this is a pale imitation of Inside Out, and it's bad on every level. They don't know that.
It's funny.
They see funny, smiling, round characters doing silly things, and they say, that sound looks like a good time.
Before you have kids, you say things like, oh, I would never see that even if I had kids. And then they ask, and you're like, okay.
I wonder how
Kevin
many
used to say, I would go see that. I don't even though I don't have kids, I'd go see that. Looks fun, round faced yellow people.
I wonder how many reviews of that movie were just the poop emoji.
Good point. The Girls Trip was third. We live in a golden age of cinema. $20 million made it number three. Then Atomic Blonde debuted with just $18.6 million. What's wrong with people? Go to that movie. People.
Did you see it?
Yes.
And?
Loved it. Loved it. Loved
Same.
It. Loved it. Loved it.
Kevin, you too?
Yep.
Great.
It was great.
Spider-Man Homecoming, fifth. War for the Planet of the Apes, Despicable Me, 3, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, Baby Driver, and Wonder Woman. These are your top movies right there. Hey, this Rob Lowe cat, he's a good fella. He's having quite a month. First of all, I don't know if you saw the footage or not, but he spotted two great white sharks while he was paddleboarding a few weeks back, and even got it on video. But also, let's not forget the Low Files.
Can't wait.
The Low Files.
I'm in.
Debuts this Wednesday at 10 p.m. We better, God, Dave Sanchez, we better have Rob Lowe on talking about ghosts.
Working on it.
Nah.
Oh, now he can talk about ghosts. I talk about it. I'm crazy.
Well, you're crazy, though.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, you weren't on Parks and Rec.
Plus, he may be crazy as well. We don't know yet.
Well, he says he has communicated with spirits through a device called the Ovilus.
Sure.
The Ovilus is the name of the device. I want to know all about the Ovilus, and I want to hear Rob Lowe talk about it. And he says it was a dead woman who reached out through him and gave her name, and it happened to be in the same spot where she was murdered.
Oh, yeah.
Murdered!
Can't wait.
You You get a chance to see all the action. As I mentioned, the Lo-Files debuts this Wednesday, 10 p.m. on A&E. By the way, Rob is doing press for this event, and he talked about his old friend Charlie Sheen. You know, they are all back in the Brat Pack back in the day. There's a bunch of young actors coming up together. And he said, we were talking about conspiracy theories and unexplainable phenomena and stuff. He said Charlie Sheen believes the moon is hollow. 100% believes it with all of his heart. The moon is hollow.
Why? Why would it be hollow?
Does not have that information.
Why would that thought ever come to your mind?
I cannot possibly imagine. Unless you think maybe it's being used as some sort of home base for some alien creatures, or there's a reason something's inside of it. The moon is hollow. So, see? Just crazier people than Allie. What I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
Well, hold on. Let's wait and find out if Allie also believes the moon is hollow.
I think it's made of cheese.
Gouda. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. He's 59 years old today. Wesley Snipes turns 55. J.K. Rowling. She's written a couple books about a guy with a scar on his head. Like that will never be popular. 52 years old. Dean Cain, Superman. Back in the Lois and Clark days, 51 years old. B.J. Novak is 38 years old. M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold is 36. Enrico Rodriguez from Modern Family celebrates his 19th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin and Bean Show, mornings on K-Rock.
You represent the absolute worst.
L.A. and O.C.'s alternative rock, Carol Q.
I like to think that we keep up on stuff, right?
Yeah.
We're paying attention to the showbiz world.
Sure.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair.
It's the Kevin DeVito and K-Rock. So Ralph brought us a list of the highest paid comedians last year. And Jerry Seinfeld was number one, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took a bunch of guesses, and it's Chris Rock, and it's Louis C.K., and it's Dave Chappelle, and it's Amy Schumer, Kevin Hart, Jim Gaffigan, Terry Fader, Jeff Dunham, and then Sebastian Maniscalco.
I'm sorry?
And we said, we're sorry? And he said, Sebastian Maniscalco. And we said...
Maniscalco, right.
Maniscalco. And we said, who? Because we've never heard of this person.
None of us. No. Not one of us in the entire room had ever heard of the 10th highest earning comedian in the country last year.
15 million, by the way.
Yeah. Right? Because you would think to be making that kind of money, you would have to have a television presence. At least I would, right? Aren't those the big celebrities?
A residency or something, yeah. Sure.
Or a big enough name.
Yeah.
You know, that you can command that kind of money, but wow.
So Ralph brought in a little bit of a tape for us to educate us on what Mr. Maniscalco is all about, and this is real. This is actually from his act that people are paying to go see. Here's a little bit of this comedian.
I went to Chipotle a couple weeks ago. Love Chipotle. They make a really nice burrito over there. It's so terrific that the employees can't stop eating it. The employees are never working. They're always in the dining room eating. You ever walk in there, you're like, where are the workers? The only guy behind there is the guy cutting chicken, just looking at you. Right? He's not trained on burrito building.
So Ralph came in and did an impression of him, and we said, you have to be exaggerating.
Yeah.
No.
That delivery, what is that about? I mean, is he trying to be Andrew Dice Clay? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
It sounds like it. I don't know.
And even if you look past the delivery, where are the jokes?
Yeah.
Where's the funny part?
More? More?
No.
More?
No.
Your bag is 2 pounds over. You're going to have to take 2 pounds out of your bag. Now, like an idiot, I got to open up my bag in front of 187 people.
Oh, hilarious airport comedy.
I don't know what 2 pounds is. I'm taking out a boot, a sock, toothpaste. Is this 2 pounds? Does anybody know what 2 pounds is? They're going to charge me an extra $8,000.
Why are people laughing at that?
Well, comedy is subjective, but I think safely we can say it's not for any of us.
Right.
Right?
Well, although the rest of America seems to have fallen in love with Mr. Maniscalco, there's one man who has not. A fellow comedian of his named Louis Spumoni, who I believe we have on the phone with us right now. Hello, Louis. How are you?
I can't believe you're playing this guy's material.
Well, we were just surprised that he's the number 10 earning comedian of last year.
Surprised? I'm surprised to see my material on stage. He's up there doing my day of business.
Oh, no. You're saying that he stole your act?
Yeah, I'm saying it. I've been up there on stage doing all these jokes for all these years. Uh-huh. And then he comes along. He did the business.
So, but do you have jokes that actually contain, I don't know, what do they call it? Comedy?
That material's great. He's doing that with the Chipotle. He's reading. He said it even wrong. It makes it funny.
Why does he and why do you talk like that, Louis? Talk like a person.
I did. My routine used to be Subway. I go on the Subway. They love Subway so much. A guy's cutting the olives. And another guy, he says, hey, what kind of bread is this?
That's
not a joke, Louis.
It doesn't have a punchline of any kind.
What's up with TV dinners? Why is the dessert always so hot?
Really?
You can do anything with it and drop it and melt through the earth like a ziz.
What's the ziz? What's the ziz thing going on there?
That's my thing. That's what I say. It's the thing with the ziz.
Well, this has to be very painful
to
see.
Why do you go on airplanes? They have little bottles of liquor. Why don't they have the big bottles? I'm worried about crashing. I need a big bottle. Where do all the socks go in the dryer?
Oh,
when
my
you put
God.
The clothes in, you're like, hey, you got a lot of clothes. I'm coming, the clothes are coming out. And then there's a sock that's gone. Where's the sock?
It's got to be painful to see him bringing down $15 million. And what kind of jobs are you getting, Louis?
I got a job. It's not a great job. I work at the Subway cutting olives. Oh, you can't use the bathroom.
I got some stuff you just gotta try. What is it?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ.
Van Lathan on the phone from the newsroom at TMZ.com. Van, good morning. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
I am great, man. When is Lana Del Rey going to be there, man? Do I need to come by there and say hello to her?
Your picture up at the gate, if that's any indication.
Hey, Van, before we get going, what did you do to Harvey? Where is he?
I do to Harvey? Listen, you guys have to understand, when you're as important as Harvey, you have to take long vacations. So he's still somewhere on the beach, man.
Can't hate that.
We need him to be refreshed when he comes back here.
He says he's on the beach, but then, like, 2 months from now, we're going to find out that he was detailing the president's car or something. He's always got some sort of back-channel thing going on that we don't know about at the time.
Meeting with the prime minister of some country or something.
Sure.
He's always into something. But you know what's funny? He can't even really take a vacation. He's been on vacation, yet texting me about different business stuff around the office every single day. So, man, shout
out.
He
just text back, new phone, who dis?
Exactly.
Well, listen, speaking of your picture being in here at the studio, a disturbing story about an overzealous fan following Kate Beckinsale around. And this must be the absolute worst downside about being famous, is somebody gets something crazy in their head that you two belong together and now you got to look out. What's going on with this dude?
You know, we've seen it over and over and over again, and, you know, Kate Beckinsale is the latest victim of it. A guy named Terry Lee Rep, he's 45. He has been determined to see her, so scarily determined that he's actually followed her across country and made some pretty serious and terrifying threats. Now, he threatened to stab her once.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely, yeah, before he was busted at the Tampa Bay Comic Con. And then he followed her all the way from an event in Salt Lake City, touching her on the back, threatening to stab her again. He ran into her at another event in Houston that same year when he was detained by cops and kicked out as well. He's said to have an irrational obsession with her.
You think?
Absolutely. So, you know, if you're Kate Beckinsale, obviously this is a very, very scary thing.
Yeah, that sucks.
In Florida, a judge basically called for his misdemeanor stalking charge to be upgraded to a felony charge, basically saying that it's aggravated stalking and this guy's too sort of dangerous to be treated as sort of a petty criminal. He's being held on $5,000 bond right now as we speak.
Yeah, I feel like they ought to arrest this dude if he's within, like, a mile of Kate Beckinsale. You know what I mean? Like, don't let him get any closer than that.
You know, it's difficult. The way the laws are structured, it's very difficult to put tabs on people and keep people away. You would think that it would be easier, but for someone like this, it always bothers me because if this story takes the most tragic turn, which God forbid that it doesn't, but if in any way, you'll have a paper trail of how dangerous this person has been acting towards her over a period of time, and I just feel like there should be something more she can do to kind of ensure her safety. It's very, very scary.
Yeah, no kidding.
Speaking of stars, Alex Rodriguez is out on the signing circuit. Did I read that right in your article, Van? He gets $150 per autograph at these signing conventions?
Yeah. A-Rod is a pimp, man. I don't know why you're like A-Rod is around here pimping. A-Rod is living his best life. I've never seen anything quite like this. Alex Rodriguez came into the league, Major League Baseball, set it on fire. Then after a while was a pariah. No one wanted to be near A-Rod. No one wanted to be. And the single thing of being with Jennifer Lopez has completely done an image 180 for him. It's crazy. He went to a National Sports Collectors Convention. And he was signing autographs and stuff like that. And who pops up? Jennifer Lopez. She is his good luck charm.
She just walked in and sat down right next to him.
Just walked in, sat right next down to him, like almost with no fanfare, no announcement. They didn't get over the loudspeaker and say, "Hey, Jenny from the block is here. Everybody, come get an autograph." She just watched him sign autographs. I think they're really in love. This couple, this thing is working out for the both of them. I did not think this couple was going to be as big of a deal as what it was, but it's a huge deal.
Now, it has lasted longer than it definitely lasted longer than I have expected. And I think you're right, man. I think that you kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. And you think, well, I guess he's not as douchey as I thought he was because we like J-Lo, so if she likes him, he must be okay. And I think you're right. That just has shined up his image a lot.
Yeah, I think it's completely changed people on Alex Rodriguez, man. And if they, you know, actually tie the knot, I think you'll start to see a lot of people start coming back over to the A-Rod is cool kind of bandwagon.
Did the line that was in front of A-Rod move over to be in front of J-Lo?
I know my line would have moved over.
And my lines.
All right, let's do one more because I know you're into the TMZ sports as well, Van. This Chris Christie picture is hilarious.
It's the best.
It's so funny. And by the way, how miserable must it be to walk around being Chris Christie? Nobody likes you. Nobody.
Wait, here's the thing about Chris Christie, though. When I look at the picture, which I have it up right now, the thing about Chris Christie is he's always so mad while holding some food.
Yep.
Always nachos, right?
It was nachos. But remember when he had the ice cream cone?
Yes.
And he had the ice cream cone on the boardwalk. It's like he can be so focused on his stomach and his anger at the same time. I love the guy.
Never put the food down, man.
Never. So he was at a Cubs Brewers game, and I guess he was getting some grief. He gets grief wherever he goes now. He is one of the most hated people. He's like a reverse A-Rod. Like, people give him crap wherever he goes.
Right.
And he had enough. The nachos weren't going to be enough to not get him in this guy's face. He stopped. He got in this guy's face. He said, "Yo, you're a big shot. Have another beer, big shot. Say it to my face." And I got to say, what I don't like about this video is that the guy capitulated. He backed down to Chris Christie a little bit.
Yeah.
If Chris Christie gets in my face with the nachos, I'm going to take a nacho out of the thing, put it in my mouth, and say, "What you going to do, girl?"
Right? I feel like if it was at a Mets game, it would have been a very different outcome.
Yeah.
I feel like Chicago was just like, "I can't."
Van, I like that your plan is just a single nacho.
Just one nacho.
And what you going to do, Gov?
As a matter of fact, a dry one, too. Not even cheese on it. One nacho. What you going to do, Gov? He's not going to do anything. So anyway, but it's very, very funny. It's very tough to be Chris Christie these days.
Certainly is. TMZ all throughout the day on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4 p.m. Same channel, TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. You can follow Van on Twitter, and you should, at Van Lathan. A lot of smack talk between Van and the fans of the TV show on his Twitter page, I'll tell you that. And TMZ.com for all the news. Great to talk to you, sir. We'll do it again next time. Bye-bye.
Y'all tell Lana I said what's up.
What? Sorry? Sorry?
He said tell Lana I said what's up.
See what happens when I don't hang up?
I mean.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's a suck fest.
LA and OC's alternative rock. KROQ.
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Hey, producer Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Just ahead of the Kevin Bean Internet Route up here, I have to put in a plug for Dave's podcast. He's one of the co-hosts, along with Lightning and DJ Omar Khan, of the B Team podcast. Kevin, have you listened to this yet?
I've listened to 5 minutes of Lightning talking about big trucks.
I promise it's not that.
Okay, I will. Yeah. Just having a time because I'm super busy.
I have to say, because we, God bless our fans, we have a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners who have been listening for a long time, who have always had a lot of questions about the way things happen on this show. Look, I'm on the show, and I'm learning things about the show I didn't know. It is fascinating, and some of the tape that they pull out, just let me give you one example on the current B-Team podcast. It's up, by the way, wherever you get your Kevin and Bean podcast, if it's at Stitcher or KROQ.com or the iTunes podcast or whatever it is, whatever app you're using to get your podcast, you'll get the B-Team automatically. You don't have to subscribe to something separate.
Yeah.
They brought out tape, Kevin, of you and me doing a live broadcast at Puffy's Taco.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What was it called? Puffy's Arturo?
I think it was the Puffy Taco. Was
I don't know.
Yeah, I think we were in a parking lot, weren't we?
In Westminster. And we, that's the show, that's this famous, maybe infamous show, where we attempted to get the Guinness Book of World Records for doing the world's largest Chico and the Man's sing-along.
Come on.
And they played the tape and broke it down. They also had an interview on this week's episode with former phone screener Beth. And this is bad news for us, Kevin, if former employees are coming out of the woodwork to now talk about the show.
Uh-oh. And they are.
And they are. It's pretty good stuff, though. And I just want to give the heads up there for the B-Team podcast. If you have a chance, you want to check it out. I think you'll enjoy it very much. And I
when does Bean just run on and on and on about the eclipse? When does that happen?
That's on... That's on my new episode of episode 3 of Thanks for That Podcast Bean, which I think, Dave, you're putting up this morning, right?
I'm going to put up this morning, yeah, around 7 a.m.
So there's a lot to choose from in addition to the good old Kevin and Bean Show podcast. All right, Dave is here. Time for the Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Put all the best viral videos of the week up at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. I think my favorite, and it doesn't have great audio, but please watch the girls going down a water slide. Because for some reason, they stop or get stuck or something happens halfway down the water slide, and they're trying to get going again to get to the bottom, and then they realize that the people in back of them have not waited for them, and they start barreling down the water slide, and it is a collision of a bunch of girls just being thrown in the air, smashing into each other.
They're pretty much stopped, and the guy behind him or girl is going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's really something.
It is crazy. There's also in the latest Blank Does Blank for the first time, Grandpa Smoking Weed for the first time, and it's also very funny because one of them just passes out.
Sweet.
All right, let's play some audio from some of our favorites. Game of Thrones is back. Dave, you watched the GOT, right?
Love it.
And it's a killer season so far this year.
So far, so good.
This is, you know, from time to time we do Jonathan, we do the Game of Thrones recap. We thought we'd give you a little taste of, there's another great series of Game of Thrones. Now, this will be last week's episode. Ozzyman is breaking down the action for us.
Danny tells him to fire off an email. Sansa thinks Winterfell is being hacked. Jono says, yeah, nah, that's a legitimate email. Davos supports starting a new group. Cersei sensationalizes the arrival of Daenerys to a small gathering of influencers. Randall Tarly has some concerns over the dragons. Qyburn says it's no worries, he has a very cunning plan. Jaime tries to get Randall to 100% sign a contract with the Lannisters. He offers Randall a sweet job promotion for when this stupid war comes to an end. Over in Old Town, the Archmaester tells Jorah he's absolutely Sam is like, damn, bro, do you have an emergency contact I can call? Jorah says, everyone hates me, eh? Qyburn unveils his latest gadget. He quotes the Slingshot channel by saying, let me show you its features. Cersei gives it a test and absolutely demolishes an antique fossil.
There's a lot going on in Game of Thrones right now.
Did you guys get that?
Of course. I am not caught up. I'm only 7 seasons behind, though, Dave. I think this is one of the great mashup videos of all time. Nerdist had Ron Howard record. Now, they didn't take this audio from Arrested Developments. They re-recorded this, right?
I believe so.
Ron Howard went into a studio and laid this down. He's doing the Arrested Development style narration on the Star Wars movies. It's amazing. Check it out.
He really wanted that kiss.
I love you.
He knew he couldn't say no.
but he also knew he couldn't flirt in front of her father.
I know.
Lou confronted his father and then realized that his father had once again taught him an elaborate lesson. Later, Lou knew he had an ethical responsibility to tell his son the truth.
I am your father.
That's impossible!
But it wasn't.
I used to live here, you know.
You're gonna die here, you know. Convenient.
It was.
She won't get a scratch.
Not so.
I got it!
But he really didn't. Later that night, the twins were united, each a little shaken by what they had pretended to be fearless about.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing.
Actually, they just made out.
You love him?
Yes.
All right. I understand.
Although he did have some of the details wrong.
He's my brother.
Yeah, it's real good, you guys. It's real good.
Back on the roundup this week, famous singers with isolated vocals. These are always either really, really impressive, like in the case of Lady Gaga or Beyonce
right.
or Ariana Grande.
Right.
Yep. Sometimes not as impressive, like in the case of Justin Bieber. And I got to be honest, that Taylor Swift clip in there is not great.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Not great
Bieber,
at all.
I thought the Bieber clip was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Yeah, I thought he sang right. The Mariah Carey's the one that's...
The one that you have to hear again, though, if you've never heard it, is Britney Spears. Now, is this her Vegas show? She's doing her singing and dancing while she's attempting to sing?
I have no idea where they got it from.
I don't know whether she's... I think she should stick to lip syncing or something, because this is what Britney sounds without the music.
Boys, sounds like God just needs one.
Yeah, no tighter than that.
Boys, love and to hold. Boys, and when a girl is with one. Boys think she's in control. She loves me, this Hollywood girl.
Ouch. Okay, all right.
That's
she's
painful.
So lucky. Come on, leave Britney alone, Kevin.
Please.
You can see all these videos and so much more at krock.com and kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean.
Please enjoy our stupid show.
All right, we got a new feature.
Yes.
And Bean and I have no idea what this is.
Right.
Which is a great, great position for a host to be in.
Let me tell you about the origin of this.
Okay. Yes, please do.
Former producer of the Kevin and Bean show, Lightning. You remember Lightning?
Sure.
He likes cars.
I like cars.
And insurance.
He's got that real high voice, right?
Well, I think that the guys aren't talking enough about themselves. People want to know about Kevin and Bean. They want to know who they are and what they're made of.
That is classic.
And so
that's Lightning.
So Lightning came to me and said, "I have an idea. When I'm out and about and I'm talking to all the K-Rock
that's
listeners,
really painful, Ralph.
When I'm out and about and the K-Rock listeners are out there,
hey, dickheads, it's not that high.
I'm gonna ask them to ask questions to Kevin and Bean."
So can you just paraphrase, Ralph? Is that possible?
So Lightning put together, when he was out and about, he grabbed some questions that the listeners, burning questions that the listeners had for Kevin and Bean.
Okay.
And Lightning also made the intro for this segment, which makes you appreciate Omar.
Okay.
You give us comedy, but you leave us with questions.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, who are you?
Bean, this is your turn to answer questions about you.
All right. This is your turn, Kevin and Bean.
Now, is that the final intro, or is that just a placeholder?
That's okay. A placeholder.
All right, good.
First up is Greg from Pasadena, and he's got a question for Bean.
All right.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. It's Greg from Pasadena with my fiance Ashley. We know that Bean just moved to New Orleans, and he's a huge fan of Denny's, but I don't know if there's many Denny's out there. So is there a new breakfast hotspot you go to?
Mm.
Let me know.
Yes, Kevin and Bean fans want to know, Bean, where are you eating breakfast these days?
Why would anyone want to know that?
Because we're interested in you.
There is one Denny's in New Orleans. I have been there. There were seven prior to Hurricane Katrina, by the way.
Oh, but the toll never ends. The other six never came back. That's how devastating that storm was. So there is one left. I don't go often because there's so much unbelievable food in New Orleans, as you can imagine. And I do have a breakfast spot that I recommend when I hear from people who are coming to town and they're looking for a place. In fact, it was named the best breakfast in the state of Louisiana. And it's on Magazine Street in the Garden District. And it's called Slim Goodies. And I'm telling you.
Slim Goodies.
Slim Goodies. It's unbelievable food. Try the crawfish etouffee. That's my recommendation. I'm sorry, was that too much information? Or was that
answering the question? Kevin, that the point of this is that you two talk about yourself but and how answer
much,
the questions.
How much in-depth information do we need to know on Denny's?
He gave you the name where he's going to eat and the place. Look, if anybody's going to attack Bean for meandering, it's going to be me. All he did was tell you the name of the restaurant and where it was. You're out of time for him?
I am. Yeah.
This question goes for Kevin. Here's from Will from Pasadena.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is Will from Pasadena. Kevin, you sound like a troublemaker. Have you ever been arrested or something like that? And if so, how many times? And for what? Oh, yeah. And have you ever been sodomized in jail?
Oh. No,
not in jail.
not involuntarily.
Yes to yes. I'm just kidding. Have I been arrested? No, arrested. I've never been arrested.
Never been arrested?
No, I've gotten tickets and stuff, but I've
never been arrested.
No.
What about
the fire? What about all the fire?
No, I was a dumb kid.
Never in the back of a squad car for any reason? Holding cell? Nothing?
No.
That seems impossible. Right. Impossible.
Yeah, I don't know.
He just
what do you mean,
remember.
You know?
You're thinking you may not remember.
I wouldn't remember that.
You didn't know you were on television as a kid for 50
That's
years.
That's true. I forgot that.
I forgot. I used to be on television.
Because I got kicked off, though. No, I cause a lot of trouble, but I always just short of
just
getting arrested.
By.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry you're all disappointed.
What about the last part?
The last part, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Well,
cool. Sodomy.
Look, any report in storm. here's a question for Bean from Jess from Diamond Bar.
Hey, Kevin Bean. This is Jess from Diamond Bar. I was wondering, Bean, what's up with the breathing? It's kind of loud. Are you okay?
That's a great question. Yeah, are you okay?
Look.
A lot of people mention this.
I hear it frequently, yeah. and I apologize. And I know it does not make me seem more professional to breathe as loud as I do on the air. I try, but it's the best I can do. And I think I got a plumbing problem there in the nose. My nose has been broken twice. I had a deviated septum also, and I just think
from you were a fighter, right?
Yes. Yeah. When I was in the UFC, yeah.
I just
think I'm broken, you guys, and I'm sorry, and I know that it is annoying to people, and I don't do it on purpose, I promise.
Is it possible to back away from the microphone just a little when you breathe? Because
right.
It seems like you're eating it.
Yeah, I could try.
Okay. Maybe through the mouth. Maybe a bigger hole would help you.
Wow.
It seems like your holes are they're impasses. There's a constriction of holage, I think, that causes a wind tunnel effect or some sort of gaspy, raspy kind of thing going on.
It is a frequent complaint from those who listen to the show. And for those who work on the show.
Sure,
I feel terrible. It's never on purpose. I'm not trying to be annoying. It's just that's just how I breathe.
What about the idea of opening the hole?
Larger hole.
Are we going back to Kevin's last question? What's happening here?
And here's the final question. This is for Kevin. It comes from David in NoHo.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's David from North Hollywood. Hey, Kevin, what's up with your face?
I think it's a good question.
What's up with your face?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only one I have, mm-hmm. And if I could choose to have another one, I would.
Yeah.
But since I can't...
Well, what's up with it?
I mean, it's on a head that's way too big, first of all.
Right, but what's up with the face?
I mean, I don't know how to answer that. It's just my face.
All right. I think we've learned a lot here.
I can't.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, who are you?
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Cool. Sounds dope.
Yeah, fresh. K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
I took a little heat on Friday, I think it is, when I came in all excited about the Yoders. We talked a little bit about the Yoders out of Indiana who have made it their lifelong quest to visit every Cracker Barrel location in the United States.
I don't know how decisions like that are made. I'm the opposite of that. I don't ever say, hey, I should visit all of fill in the blank, mm-hmm. ever. for anything.
They've been married for 60 years. They've been to 644 of the 645 Cracker Barrels.
And losers, right?
they've still got the other one ahead of them. They're going to all of them, oh. And then they'll be done until they open up a new one.
And then what happens when they're done? They get that $1 million prize?
No, I don't think there's any. I think the satisfaction having checked off everything on their list.
I got you.
And I respect the game. I love the Yoders. I'm jealous of the Yoders. I may follow in their footsteps and do the same thing.
Bean, at one point, we think was really serious about getting his hair cut in all 50 states without any repeats. Mm-hmm. That was his goal. And again, I would say, why?
I really was into that, but the problem was I wasn't traveling enough to be able to do 50 different states in a row, which is what I wanted to do.
Right, which I think you could have seen ahead of time. I mean, that seems like a bad,
poorly planned. I felt like it would have been possible to go to a different state every couple of months. That's what I was counting on. It just didn't work out that way. I think I only got 11 states
But because, what a waste.
Because what the reason it happened is because I happened to have gotten a haircut in Hawaii and then happened to have gotten a haircut in New York and then ended up in Michigan. And that's what I thought, oh, my gosh, what are the chances? So after Michigan, I said, well, now I'm three deep. I only have 47 to go.
Right there. That was the problem. Second right there was the problem.
So why not? But don't you guys – let me ask you this. Like, you love McDonald's, Kevin.
Yes.
There's no part of you that says – hey, I've never been to that McDonald's. I'll go to that
one. It's the same.
Why? But I mean, but
it's the same.
But it's also, it's a different experience to go to a different McDonald's.
Here's the thing, it isn't. Because you know what? I'm getting McDonald's food, which I love, and then I eat it, and then I'm fine. And I can get that right by my house or along the freeway if I'm driving and I'm, you know, hungry.
Right.
Super easy, but I don't feel the need to go to a different one. Just because it's a different one, because they're the same.
I went to every single 7-Eleven in Seattle when I lived there. Every one of them.
You say that like it's an accomplishment.
Because I want the full 7-Eleven Seattle experience, though.
It's the same experience every time you go! It's not different.
Your voice just got lightning high.
Is it different? Is it ever different?
Yes, because every store is different. Yes,
yeah, they're very different. One of those 7-Elevens had car parts. That was weird. They carry the same food. It's a chain.
We thought it would be interesting to hear from people who like to collect the whole set. There's a location that you are trying to go to in your city or in your country or around the world. You want to visit all of the fill in the blanks. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a business. You could be visiting all the world's largest if you want. And I respect that game.
Bean does that too. I
love that.
He's got that list. The largest, smallest.
I don't get the whole going to a 7-Eleven. That's the same thing, just different areas. But I do understand the people that want to go to every Major League Baseball ballpark.
A lot of those people.
Yes,
yeah.
Because every park is different.
Absolutely.
At least that makes sense.
Yeah, I get
Cracker Barrel. Same.
Yeah.
7-Eleven, same.
That. It's not the same, by the way.
It's the same.
There are 7-Elevens who are built into strip malls. There are 7-Elevens that are standalone.
And when you walk inside, what are they
so
like?
Sad.
Some of them are so much smaller than others. Some of them are huge. Some of them, I have favorite 7-Elevens.
Sure. Of course you do.
But my point is, there are lots of different things that people can visit all over. And that's what we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. In fact,
you made me go to the world's largest pecan?
I do.
In Seguin, Texas? Now, here's the thing about that. It's not a pecan. It's cement. In the shape of a pecan,
yes.
But it's not a pecan.
It would be awkward.
So it isn't the world's largest pecan. By very definition, it's not a pecan.
It would be awkward and wordy to call it the world's largest slab of cement in the shape of a pecan.
So it's called stupid from the pecan. And this will blow you people's mind if you don't know this story already. How many times have you been, Bean, to the world's largest pecan, which is not a pecan?
Well, I've been four times. First of all. And by the way, big controversy in Pecanville, Kevin, I don't know if you're aware of it, is that somebody did a thing that I suggested we do on this show years ago, which is to start one by one picking off the world's largest and putting them out of business by making our own world's largest.
Yeah, that was Bean's whole plan. His old master plan was like, it'll screw them up so bad.
Somebody in Georgia, I want to say, did come up with a bigger pecan. So the world's largest pecan in Seguin, as far as I know, no longer the world's largest pecan.
Qualifying question. Was it a pecan?
Well, no.
Well, then it's...
Let's talk to Joe in Orange, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call or text if you're visiting all of the what. We want to hear from you here on KROQ. Good morning, Joe. Thank you for listening.
Good morning.
Hi.
Every new city I go to, I try and visit that city's Costco wholesale.
Boom. Perfect.
Because
I love Costco. I want to see how each one is a little bit different. And I have noticed that each one does carry items that are local to that area. So each one does is a little bit different. Yeah.
I'll bet that's a great day when you go walk it in there and you go, woo.
I bet Joe is excited.
I win.
When Joe gets to go to a new Costco, it's a thrill, isn't it, Joe?
It is. The whole new layout. They got the one in Wisconsin's got bratwursts. The one down in Miami's got Italian sausages. Each one's a little bit different.
Wow, you are living. I'm wrong. You're living.
Hey, Kevin, you don't know.
You know what you're doing.
You don't know about the Costco food though. They serve.
I do know about it because there's a Costco by my house,
and now they have these cheeseburgers that are supposed to be so damn good.
Okay, now wait, Joe. Just as a qualifying question, are you trying to go to all of the Costcos, or just when you end up in a city you want to go to one?
No, just when I end up in a city I want to go to, or if it's
so. You're just partially crazy.
Yeah, Joe's not crazy at all. He's doing a great job.
That's what I meant.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the call. Dave, you have something on your bucket list, too?
Well, you know, I didn't until I read this article and we discussed it. You know, I really like aquariums, mm-hmm. and I think I'm going to try to attempt to go visit all the aquariums in the U.S. and, around the world if I'm going somewhere.
Have you done the research? Do we know how many aquariums there are in the United States? Because I feel like that's a lot.
Oh, not too many. The article I read had the top 10, but I think there's about 50. Because, aquariums are kind of tough to maintain.
Right.
Kevin is just going to argue, they're just fish and they're dumb.
I'm not, because I assume each of the aquariums is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like...
Unlike 7-Elevens. Go ahead.
Yeah, like the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. It's my favorite aquarium of all time. Mm-hmm. And they have beluga whales, and they also have this display of where your fish come from, like the fish that you have in aquariums at your house.
All right, you're losing me now.
They have the giant versions because they are in the wild. Well, not the wild, but, it's awesome. So I enjoy it. And
sounds like Kevin will allow
Kevin,
it.
I will allow that because it's each one is different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, so I didn't know Bean had one in New Orleans that's supposed to be amazing.
And I've heard good things about the New Orleans Aquarium as well.
And we're going to
let me ask you this, and then we'll take a quick break and come back with your calls and texts at 1-800-520-1067. What's the list that you're running down? You're trying to get to as many as possible. How do you feel, Kevin, if the qualifier for you is that they're different? So you have no problem with me trying to go to all the presidential museums then? Because they're all different. You've been to Nixon. You've been to Reagan. They're different.
He's struggling.
I can't. Look.
I've been to I've been to Lyndon Johnson's.
Right.
I've been to Harry Truman's.
Right.
I've been to Lincoln's. Uh-huh. I've been to a bunch of them.
Yeah. I guess by my own standards, that's fine.
Because they are completely different.
Because they're all different.
How about presidential graves, which I'm also visiting? I also have a running list of the presidential graves I've been to. Now, would you argue that it's just they're all the same? Because they're not either.
I mean, there's so many other problems, though. I don't think, are they the same, is the only qualifying question. But I guess...
You'll allow it?
I just don't get it. Honestly, I just don't get it. I don't understand having to go to all of anything.
If you do, give us a call or text us. 1-800-520-1067. More on this when we return right after this on K-Rock.
K-Rock. LNOC's alternative rock.
We're a bunch of sorry sons of bitches.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Instead of the revivalists, let's take one call. We're talking about you have to visit all of fill in the blank. Mark in Brea. Hi.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I want to go to like all the baseball stadiums.
Okay.
Kevin, don't you want to go to all the NHL rinks?
Yeah, I would. Yes, that would be fascinating to me. But because I love hockey...
Exactly. Everybody loves something.
I think your Major League Baseball stadiums is all right because
it's legit. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many have you been to, Mark?
They're all different.
All right. Later.
How many have you been to, Mark?
Six.
You got a long way to go, my friend.
Good luck with that.
Hope you live long enough. All right, more calls and texts coming up on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Side effects may include unpleasant taste, headache, dizziness, and morning drowsiness.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
I guess my problem is that I insert people
and life
okay.
for seeing each 7-Eleven in the place of.
There's room for
so
all
you
of
hang
that.
Out with people.
It's
and
not
then,
like it's an exception.
How could you
like
even have the thought, I'd like to go to every 7-Eleven?
Okay.
It's right? not like you can't do both, man.
And girls, I hey, like as well.
Let's, we're talking about, I want to visit all of the fill in the blanks. We'll get right back to your calls in a second. Megan, Kyle, Ron, please hang on. 1-800-520-1067. Crystal texts us, I'm two away from visiting every mission in California. That seems legit, right?
Yeah.
I guess because that's each of them are different, right?
Mm-hmm.
No sure. name. Everywhere I go, I like to visit a Harley-Davidson dealership. Each one has its own design for their T-shirts, and when you wear one, it's like saying, I've been there or rode there. I've got them from London, Chicago, Hawaii, Utah, and many, many more, which kind of makes sense, I guess, if you're an enthusiast of sure. the Harley-Davidson, right? And one more. Stephanie from the 949 in Costa Mesa. My son has a quest to visit a McDonald's in every state. So far, he's at 15 states, but he's only 12. And I feel like I can break. I feel like I can break him of his beanness before adolescence. Well, you don't have to get mean, Stephanie. Come on.
Good luck, Stephanie. Godspeed.
All right, let's go to Megan, Los Angeles, line 3, up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think she has a not. I wouldn't say common, but one that a lot of people would love to get on that list.
Hey, Megan.
Hi.
Hi there.
What's yours?
I want to go to all the Disneylands in the world.
Oh, I would say that is normal.
Like a lot of people would. So there's Euro Disney, right? There's Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Tokyo.
Paris.
Is there Oh, Paris is different from Euro Disney?
No, there's no Euro. Well, that is Euro Disney.
Okay.
Disney Paris, yeah. Right. And then Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Shanghai.
Oh, Hong Kong and Shanghai also. Sweet. Wow. How are you doing on your quest?
Well,
she hasn't been to any of them yet.
You guys sent me to Dublin a few years ago, actually. So thanks for that. And while I was there, I was like, I can't not go to Paris. So I went to Disney Paris, and then I have a pass to Disneyland here. And then in 2020, I'm going to go to Tokyo. So I'll go to Tokyo Disney there, and then I'll hit up Shanghai and Hong Kong. And then the Florida one, I'll leave for last because, one, it's Florida. And two, I could kind of drive there, so I don't really have too much of a deadline on
it. Put a lot of work into this.
Yeah, she has thought about it. And you're very smart to put off going to Florida as long as possible. That's good to think of there, Megan. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kyle Claremont up next, line 5, please.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, what's up? Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
Okay, how you doing?
Hey.
You want to visit or experience all of what?
I want to hike all of California's 14,000-foot peaks. The
mountain. Oh, wow.
That is impressive, first of all.
Yeah.
And how many are there?
I believe there's 14 in California that are over 14,000 feet.
And how many have you climbed?
I've done one, but it is the tallest, and I've done it 3 times.
Well, that doesn't sound like the way to start checking them off your list if you keep going back to the same one over and over again. You got to spread that around.
That's not a very good business plan.
It's a little difficult to find friends who are willing and able to do hikes like
oh,
that.
You're going
to
do some of those by
because
yourself.
Because of all the murder, Kyle?
Yeah, because of all the murder. You know how hiking is, right?
Right.
All right, well, good luck, Kyle. You sound buff and handsome. I appreciate the call. Let's try Ron in Burbank, who is taking his life into his own hands with this quest. What's going on, Ron?
Hello.
You want to visit
doing?
What?
Well, you don't, you know, I got into the Scientology bit living in Hollywood.
What's happening then, right now?
Well, I think he's doing an impression of you, but I think he wants to visit. Okay, Ron.
Then I decided to go to, like, all of the, whatchamacallit, all the Scientology buildings.
So you want to visit every building that Scientology has?
No, one in every country, actually. I've already done 20 of them.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Are you a Scientologist?
No. I just like going there and getting the data, and then when they keep on trying to preach, I say, look, I came from the homeland, so lay off.
Okay. I don't know what's happening here. You need Scientology or something, though, Ron.
No. I just go there just to get the paperwork so I can say, look, you know, they've destroyed even this wonderful medieval village's, like, it used
so
to
you collect Scientology paperwork.
Like, honestly, I can't talk to him anymore. I'm sorry. I apologize. Right. Let's go to
glad you listened, but no.
Let's go to 7 Pasadena. Hi there.
Hi. I want to watch the Kings play in every NHL stadium.
See, now that is a worthy goal.
I don't hate it. Chip. Damn it.
Ducks fan, checking in there.
How many have you gotten to?
Two. Just two, unfortunately.
All right.
Oh,
is one of them Honda Center?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, Seth.
You got to start somewhere.
I'm going to do it.
You have a long way to go. Good luck.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
It's like lame and it's like stupid and it's dumb.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
It is a Monday. That's why we take a look at the top 10 movies from the weekend box office, see what people went to see in the theaters. A lot of people went to see Dunkirk. Again, well, it's the feel-good movie of the summer, really. Second week in a row, $28.1 million made it number one. The Emoji Movie was second in its debut, made $25.7 million. Then Girls Trip, Atomic Blonde, Spider-Man Homecoming. Those are the top five films. War for the Planet of the Apes was sixth. Despicable Me 3 was seventh. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets came in at number eight. Baby Driver and Wonder Woman rounding out the top ten. George Clooney's got a legitimate beef. He's not happy with a French tabloid that published photos of his newborn twins. In the statement issued by Clooney, he said in order to get those photos, the photographers had to scale their fence, climb a tree, and then take the shots of the babies through a window inside their home.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, that's cool. I feel like I'd go stronger than uncool.
It's an interesting take. Clooney said, besides being uncool, that he's also going to prosecute the agency and the magazine to the fullest extent of the law following this up. However, I thought the interesting response was from the tabloid itself, which said their story was in response to public demand.
Irrelevant.
So, well,
people wanted to see it, so we had to do it.
Oh.
Is that really their defense? They also claim the photos do not put Mr. Clooney, his wife, or their kids in any danger. I don't think really that's the bottom line, is it? Maybe people should be able to control whether they want photos of their newborn kids to be in the
Yes, of course. Of course they should.
Have to get on his property to get it?
Clooney, no. You can take pictures of Clooney all day long, in my opinion, because he's a public figure, and that's part of what he signed up for. But the children did not make that choice, nor should they be subjected.
I wish we lived in a world where he could sue them and make them pay a large amount of money for that invasion of privacy.
Well, we do, and
that's
he can.
What's happening.
We do live in that world.
Was that a joke?
No, I felt like I rarely see a satisfactory resolution to these kind of stories where the tabloid really does get slapped down for doing it. Usually what happens is George Clooney comes out and says, that's awful what they did, they shouldn't be allowed to do that, and then they just go on and do it to somebody else tomorrow.
Where's Bieber when you need him, by the way? Why isn't he driving around running over those paparazzi outside Clooney's place? That should be his job now.
Because that would be helpful.
Bieber should be paparazzi hitter. Truck guy. Should be his new title. Should be on his cards. Speaking of Bieber, rumors swirling that he canceled his Purpose tour so that he can rededicate his life to Christ, of course. And that he's serious about the idea of starting his own mega church. Our Lady of the Biebs.
Justin Bieber starting a church.
You heard me. You know this Life Song church that he's involved with?
Hillsong.
Yeah. Hillsong Church. This is some effing shaky stuff going on with these people.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we need an A&E deep dive documentary on this crowd. Apparently, it's automatic 10% of your income buy-in if you're a member of this church.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds very cult-y.
Mandatory tithe, you mean?
Mandatory tithe, yeah. So it just seems to me, anytime anybody says you got to pay to pray, I'm always a little suspect. So I'm just saying, get on it, Kevin. You're good at this kind of thing. You're our investigative reporter.
Yes, I am.
All right? Go get him, Kev.
And are they one of those mega churches, Ralph, that has, 12,000 people at a Sunday service or something? Are
yes.
they cute?
Yes. Yeah. I believe they're out of Australia. That's where it started originally, I believe. But we'll have to wait and see. And this should be good. Finally, some new music from Paul McCartney. You know, all his best stuff really came later in his life. McCartney. He said to some students in the Liverpool Institute of Performing Arts that he is planning on releasing soon his song about President Donald Trump.
Oh, I can't wait.
Right? I'm guessing Trump-Free Mondays? Probably. Is that going to be the song?
To the tune of this? Pain free Monday. Fun day. I mean, after that line, should he be forced to stop writing songs?
Meat-free Monday, that's a fun day.
Right.
Listen, Kevin, this isn't new. Remember, someone's knocking at my door?
Oh, sure, that's
someone's
right.
ringing the bell? Let me see, what else do I got? Someone's knocking at the door again, okay. Okay, someone's ringing the bell. Okay, do that twice.
Twice.
Do me a favor. Oh, what could the favor be if someone's knocking at my door? Open the door and let him in! Was a song!
That was a song.
God damn him to hell.
He's written some crap. I'm happy I hung up on him.
Right? I'm standing by Let Him In, by the way.
How
no,
can
you're not.
You
just heard, like it. You just heard Ralph's reading of those lyrics. How can you
look,
like that?
A lot of... Look, because there's more to it than just the words.
It's, no, yeah, there's
the,
not.
The words aren't the deepest thing in the world, but it's a
nursery school rhyme melody behind it.
It's his voice, and it's the melody, and it's the music, and it's the ringing of the doorbell.
Wrong,
the beginning
sir.
Of the
song.
Hold on.
You're the guy who thinks the emperor's wearing beautiful clothing.
They rang a doorbell at the beginning of the song. Now I'm in.
I'm not standing up for everything Paul McCartney ever did. He has some bad songs. The Meat Free Monday song is awful, but I'm fine with Let Him In. I like Let Him In. The big follow-up to Silly Love Songs, another song, by the way, that a lot of people hated and criticized at the time, which I also happen to enjoy. You could certainly make fun of that one, too, Ralph. It's just half the song is I love you, but Paul McCartney makes it work, man. Pulls it off.
Sounded just like him there. I'm not sure.
But I hope we're talking to Mr. McCartney tomorrow about his Donald Trump songs. I hope that's happening.
Let him in. God damn it.
That's literally, he's just writing down whatever he's seeing at
right.
the moment.
He knows, he's figures, oh, I'm a Beatle. I don't have to work too hard. He'll just buy anything I record. He's not wrong, apparently.
Yeah.
Because some people go, it's mine that there's a doorbell. If I put a doorbell on this, I'll think it's art.
Ugh. Right?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Cuban, first of all, Mavs, right? You got to give him that. Second of all, Shark Tank.
Yeah.
He's great on the Shark Tank. Third of all, Cuba. Pretty good island, right?
That has nothing right? to do with... Okay.
59 years old today. Wesley Snipes is 55. J.K. Rowling is 52. Dean Cain, Superman himself.
Hey, Ralph Garman, isn't this our annual visit to the greatest baseball home run ever hit?
Oh, I forgot all about that.
I mean, we don't need to revisit
Once
that.
Once upon a time, boys
Allie,
and girls.
You know this story?
I don't know if I do.
There was a celebrity baseball game being held at Dodger Stadium.
Celebrity
was it softball?
Quotes.
Was it softball or was it
this
fastball?
Is baseball.
Baseball, right?
Yeah.
And they ran out of celebrities, so they asked Kevin and Bean to play. And Kevin was pitching, and he pitched a ball to Dean Cain, which scientists say is still traveling to this day. It's still in the air.
Really?
Yeah. It was probably my 35th or 36th pitch, and it was the first one over the plate.
Oh, no.
He finally got one over the plate. And Dean Cain just took it yard, as they say, and crushed it. The ball was screaming as it went past people.
Jimmy Kimmel was a catcher, and he kept running around to the back to get the ball.
Oh, no.
It had to be 400 feet, right?
I mean, it was crushed.
Really?
Yeah, it was. That was not good.
Huh.
And then there was another pass ball, and I literally was at home plate covering in case Jimmy could find the ball in that amount of time. And he couldn't, and the guy scored, and I just walked to the dugout. I was like, put somebody else in.
Kevin,
gave
was,
up.
I took myself
he wasn't
out.
Even, oh, he wasn't no. even pulled. Oh,
good times.
Good times.
DJ Novak's 38 years old today. Avenged Sevenfold singer M. Shadows is 36, and Rico Rodriguez from Modern Family plays Manny on that program. Very talented kid. 19 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Really bad.
LANOC's alternative rock. K-R-O-Q.
Ladies and gentlemen, she is back at K-Rock. Singer, songwriter, icon, Lana Del Rey, her return to the Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock. How are you, Lana?
I'm good with that introduction. Thank you.
Right? It's great to see you again. Lust for Life, the new record, is out. It's been available for 10 days or so, something like that. Mm-hmm. Big smash hit, and it's great to see it. You know, before we do anything else, I just want to say, because I was afraid I was going to forget about this, thank you so much for doing the K-Rock Weenie Roast this summer.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Yeah, thank you for having me.
It was so fun. And, you know, as you remember, it was such a stacked lineup, so many crazy, great musical acts on the bill. But if you looked out in the audience, as we did, I felt like, Kevin, am I wrong, like 80% of the people were there for Lauderdale Ray.
That was great.
It was insane how your fans showed up.
They do show up for me. Yeah, I'm so lucky like that. Kind of no matter where I go, they show up to the shows.
Let's talk about that. Speaking of your fans, because I was so fascinated with this, because we last week when you did the Amoeba Records in-store, one of our guys on the show came in and he said, I drove through Hollywood this morning and people are already lining up for your appearance, Del Rey's appearance that night. They had started lining up the night before to get in to see you.
I know. I heard that. I was still flying over at that time from London, but...
And they were already in line waiting to see you.
You're better than a sneaker release.
Yeah.
Look, I know you put out music because you hope that you're an artist and you hope that it is going to connect with people. But what is it they're telling you when they finally wait all night long to get up in the line and they get to shake your hand and meet you? What is it you're hearing from them that gives you some sort of a hint as to how you're connecting in such a deep and profound way?
They tell me all different kinds of things, from things that are really funny to things that are really serious, like the music saved my life, or they want the record to go really well and they say something kind of jokey. And
how do you handle somebody who says it's your music saved my life? That seems like such a huge...
It's a big thing.
Yeah.
I absorb it and I keep it, you know, like I take it in, but I keep it light. I try and take the lightness from it. Music was a big part of my life when I was a teenager too. Not that they're all teenagers. There's lots of different types of...
So you know what it's like to kind of fall in love with a song or with an album and how an important a part it can play in that whatever's going on in your life at that time.
Yeah, I don't think I had too many records that like changed me when I was a teenager, but I guess I had a couple.
Did you ever wait all night to meet a musical artist when you were young?
No, but I'm from the Adirondacks, so the only thing that I ever remember coming to town was Phish, and Shania Twain did like a sound stage rehearsal at the Olympic Arena.
And that's it?
Limited options. I'm like a Phish fan. Not super huge Phish
You know
fan.
What? Eventually, I think Phish got banned from that arena because their fans were so crazy. So then we had no one. We had like,
that's a rough place to grow
Grateful
up.
Grateful Dead cover bands come through. We were so close to Vermont, everyone was like.
Sure. Speaking of musical inspirations and idols, Lust for Life, the new record, as we mentioned, from Lana Del Rey, is available everywhere you get or stream or buy your music. And you have a song, you have some great guest stars on this album, but I want to particularly talk about this as Stevie Nicks track because, I mean, you love her, right?
I do love her, yeah.
And how is that for you as the artist on the record, but also as a super fan to kind of be in studio and working with her? Are you able to kind of forget for a minute, oh my God, that's Stevie Nicks, and just kind of treat her like another performer?
Not at the time. Not when she came into the studio. I was more nervous than I thought I would be when she came in.
Were you able to compartmentalize that, or did it just
I was
stay
at
with
first
you?
But then she asked me to re-sing something, and then I
oh no,
I got on the microphone in this booth that I'm not usually in, because I usually just sing in the middle of the room, but I was trying to like be professional and do it in the ISO booth, and my first, she just wanted me to do my oohs and ahs over, and my first ah was like ah. It was horrific, and she didn't even say anything, and I said something stupid like, oh, God, that sounds so small next to your awe. And she's like, that's okay, you can be my little echo. And I thought,
that's sweet.
That was cute. And then you immediately got that tattooed.
Yeah. Little echo across my heart.
So when Kevin and I have people on the show that we want to be best friends with, we always, in the back of our mind, we're thinking, oh, this is it. Now that I've met this person, you know, I'm going to get his phone number. We're going to start going to lunch.
Right.
It doesn't really work that way.
It doesn't work for us. I'm just wondering, like, are you and Stevie Nicks like friends now? Could you call her if you wanted to at some point?
Could totally call her. And
wow.
I know. I have to say, it's one of these like amazing career and life things where I do consider her a friend, and I love her. And she's, because you never really know with women how it's going to go, but she just wanted to be there right away, like sent flowers after the track was
nice.
Done. Got me a present for my birthday.
How about that?
She's actually the one who, it's funny because she's the one who's so legendary, but she's the one who really put all the extra effort in and didn't make anything hard clearance-wise, and I just had to call her friend to ask, like, are you sure it's all okay? She was like, yep. I was like, okay, I guess we're good.
They say don't meet your heroes, but in this particular case,
I think that's freaking generally true. She's, like, one of the only people who I could say is an exception to that rule.
We are talking to singer-songwriter Lana Del Rey here on the Kevin Bean Show. Again, Lust for Life is the album available everywhere. In a couple minutes, we'll talk about some upcoming shows and give away some tickets. I want to ask you one more Stevie Nicks question before we have to take a quick break, Lana, and that is, and I don't want to make too much of this, and I'm in no way making fun, but you guys have witchiness in common. And a lot of people love to write about that. The witches got together.
I know. They love that.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, so why don't you tell me what that means?
Well, I mean, we both have a flair for the dramatic. And I saw her on stage with Fleetwood Mac last week at Dodger Stadium. And she definitely has a way about her on stage. I'm not saying that I have that same way, but you can tell she's a little bit of a mystic at heart, I would say. I mean, not to speak for her, but I definitely have, you know, I've had like a long time interest in all things ancient and occult, like so many people. And I guess I draw on a little bit of that inspiration for my music and for whatever. I love to read up on stuff like that. So, yeah, the two witches got together.
Can I just say that she used to come and do shows with my uncles and cousins. And as a little girl, I would take pictures with my little camera and then get it developed. And the pictures would come back. She was blurry in all of them. Not kidding. It was probably being so freaked out. I was shaking, taking pictures of her.
But I'm like 4 years old.
I'm telling you, it has stuck with me my entire life. I'm like, she's such a total witch.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Did you take any pictures with her?
No, but you know what? I did take an iPhone video of myself singing to her music on the way.
And
I was going to show her the whole thing. Was out of focus.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. This just turned into a Halloween show. What's happening right now? I'm telling you.
Maybe you're both bad photographers,
or I'm right, and that's proof. Good night. Have a good night, everybody.
I mean, that's one of the possibilities.
I think so, and I love it so much.
All right, more from Lana Del Rey. We're going to return a quick break right after this on K-Rock.
If something's lame and it ain't that good, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock, LANOC's alternative rock.
Lana Del Rey and Love on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
And Lana Del Rey is here in studio with us here on the world famous K-Rock, back with a new record called Lust for Life. Am I wrong about this, Lana? It didn't seem like it took very long for this record compared to the wait we have waited in between previous albums, no?
Maybe close to the same.
It felt like it
took forever to write. I think I spent a lot more days consecutively in the studio for this one. But it was probably 2 years ago, like down to the day that I put out Honeymoon. Yeah.
I know that that everybody's latest album is usually their favorite album. It's the music that they're most excited about singing and sharing and talking about. But did this one seem different to you in some way compared to other records?
Yeah. It did. It felt different. I mean, I was glad that the general vibe of it didn't end up being too different from the first few records I did, but...
Was that a conscious choice?
No, I feel like the melodies and the production were just kind of following what I had been thinking about over the last year and a half, but I kind of thought I knew where the record was going, and then, like, 14 months into it, it took like a turn for me stylistically, so I wasn't really sure where we were going to end up. But I really love it. I've got like a couple songs on there, like Coachella, that I love the production for, or a song called Cherry. Again, I love like the kind of bluesy vibe in the production, so I'm happy with where.
Does it scare you a little bit when the process takes a turn?
Yeah.
Because
actually, it's never really done that so much.
It hasn't.
Quite so much for me as it did with this one.
Because it seems like you spend so much time heading in one direction, and then all of a sudden it's...
She's not in one direction, Kevin.
You're confused. I didn't say what I was saying.
This is Lana Del Rey.
That's not what I was saying.
It's on your paperwork.
I'm saying you go for a long time with something in mind, and all of a sudden it changes.
Yeah, it's true.
Are you easily open to that kind of thing?
I don't think I was before, but I was with this one.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
It's a very generous album, too, in that there are 16 songs. And you said the other night at Amoeba that you have, I think you said something like 25 other songs that you worked on that didn't make the record.
No, I've got about five that didn't. But, like, I have sometimes some of the younger fans, they always ask me about the unreleased songs that got leaked. So I was saying, you know, I might at some point just release some of those songs because I love them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of Amoeba one more time, we sent a beer mug who works here on the show down to that line that we talked about of people waiting in line to see you. And we asked them, we gave them the opportunity to ask you a question. Would you mind if we hear from a couple of your fans?
Oh, yeah.
And see what their questions are. Unfortunately, I don't have their names, but hopefully they are listening since they know you're on K-Rock here this morning. So let's hear question number one.
How do you come up with your album titles?
And are they connected, I guess, would be another another aside on that question.
It's cute that you got the audio from them. how do I come up with the album titles? Well, generally, I like an album title that I think is going to sort of point to a general, like, aesthetic that I can, like, a world I can build within lyrically and sonically. So I knew I wanted this record to kind of, I think probably midway through it was sounding a little bit lighter than, say, Born to Die. And one of the tracks I had was called Lust for Life. So I thought, it'd be kind of a cool full circle thing to call this one.
And you did that one with The Weeknd.
I did, yeah. And I didn't know if that was going to be weird to, like, have a feature on the title track. But
was it before or after he got his haircut?
You know what? It was right after.
Right after. I think it looks better.
This is going to change your life.
Right? Exactly.
I was like, you're going to be able to go anywhere now.
Exactly.
Do you like baseball caps? You're going to be able to...
It's a whole new world for the weekend.
Go to Yum Yum Donuts down the street. No problem.
All right. Next question from one of your fans at Amoeba.
What is the weirdest thing a fan has ever said to you or done to you or something of that nature?
That's dangerous. Wow. Talk about taking a turn.
I know. Let's see. Homemade cookies. Usually,
don't eat them.
I don't take them.
That's a nice gesture, but don't eat them.
Hypochondriac. What else? There are a couple of other weird.
Any tattoos among your fans? Lana Del Rey tattoos.
I think we have a lot of tattoos.
Whoa.
I think so. Yeah, we got some hand tats.
Okay. All right. One more.
If she could make a duet with any artist that she loves dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Dead or alive?
I think she just said alive, which is, come on, why?
A weird qualification, wasn't it?
You know who I really love is Joni Mitchell.
Oh,
Joni Mitchell. I don't really know what she's up to.
She had a very serious health scare a couple of years ago.
I remember
very serious,
that.
But came back and now is in public, and we've seen her a little bit. I don't know how much singing she's doing anymore, but she seems like she's on the mend, which is great. She's one of the legends of all time. So,
totally.
Boy, I can't imagine. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, tell us about these shows you just announced on Friday. You got two Southern California shows coming up.
Yep, I'm going to do a couple of shows. They're both at House of Blues. One is in San Diego, one's in Anaheim. They're just kind of club shows. Yes, I'm going to do that tonight, I guess, and tomorrow.
Yes, the one at House of Blues Anaheim is tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and we have tickets for that.
Yes, we do. If you want to go see Lana Del Rey tomorrow night, Tuesday, August 1st, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067 to win this pair of tickets. Lana, pick a number between 1 and 100, please.
1 and 100, 66.
Caller 66, win the Lana Del Rey tickets. Man, you just made our phone screener's life miserable. Couldn't have been number 4, could it, Lana?
That's what ticket 2 goes to.
All right, caller 66, you win. All right, is that it? Did we cover everything? Are we good? Is everyone happy?
I believe so.
I think so.
Lana, did you have a nice time?
Yeah, thank you for having me down here.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for continuing to make great music, and thanks again for playing the Weenie Roast. I hope we see you again.
For sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
A grotesque monstrosity.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Born of relentless inbreeding. Chronically flatulent.
K-Rock. Q.
All right, just ahead of Audio Slave, you know I'm not a huge baseball fan.
What?
But Kyle Farmer.
Dude.
Yeah, it's a nice debut at bat in the major leagues, that's for sure. The Dodgers, by the way, every night find a different way to beat whoever they're playing. They've won 8 out of the last 10, just swept the Giants, and they're in the 11th inning last night when this rookie kid comes up for his first ever at bat with two men on base. I mean, it's you couldn't write it any better if you were making a movie.
3-2. Base hit down the right field line. Seager's going to come in to score. Turner getting the Farmer in his major league debut.
I mean, just winning the game at your first at bat.
Just that.
Unreal.
Nice crazy. Job, guys.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
They're all losers. I hate these guys.
K-Rock, LA and OC's alternative rock.
Just ahead of Ralph stepping in for the Showbiz Beat, I want to put out a quick plug for the new B-Team podcast is available. Posted on Friday. If you haven't checked it out, these are the behind-the-scenes stories of the Kevin and Bean Show. If you want to hear from Lightning and from Dave and from Omar.
Are they accurate, Bean?
I think so.
Okay.
It's interesting to hear their perspective as opposed to ours.
Okay.
They're not always kind.
Neither is ours.
And also, I put up a new episode of Thanks for That Podcast Bean today, if you want to check that out as well. And Kevin, you'll be very excited to know that I talked to a listener, a big fan of the show, named Melissa. She and her family are driving 1,100 miles to see the eclipse in person on August 21st.
Can I just...
She's got the eclipse fever is
we
what I'm telling you.
We got to nip this in the bud.
Could I just vent for a second?
It's a thing. Eclipse fever is happening. It's all over the world.
A full week. Every second we're not on the air.
Yeah.
Bean's talking about the eclipse.
Well, it's a big deal.
Yes, I mean, but we're
greatest eclipse.
What I'm telling you is not interested. Allie.
No.
Not
yet. Mm-mm. Not yet.
I won't come around.
You're turning
on this.
Us against it.
Yeah.
You are gonna get wrapped
talk
up.
Talk about it less.
You're
in
making
the magic.
Me hate the sun.
Say well, less, anyway. Of, less of what you're saying.
If you want to hear that interview and hear lots of great moon talk, that's on the podcast
right.
Available now.
Woo!
9:37, Ralph is here now, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
And I'm shocked that Bean would not support me, but I also have a podcast called Hollywood Babylon that you can listen to.
Do you ramble about the moon, though?
Me? No, sadly, there's no moon talk
See,
at all.
See, that's your problem.
But Kevin Smith and I also talk about stuff as well that you can listen
talk
to.
Talk about
I
only boring stuff like showbiz.
I only
show
didn't
biz.
Mention that, Ralph, because
listen to that as well.
People have been listening to that for 7 years. I'm just plugging the other ones that are brand new to people and may not even know they exist. That's
right.
All.
I'm saying you're good with what you've got. I'm saying that Dunkirk was number one at the box office for the second week in a row. $28.1 million made it number one again. And it beat out the Emoji Movie, which you would think would be a no-brainer, but the Emoji Movie made $25.7 million.
People have kids.
Kids don't read reviews, turns out.
That's correct.
Yeah. Girls Trip was third. Atomic Blonde debuted with $18.6 million at number four. Spider-Man Homecoming, number five. War for the Planet of the Apes was six. Despicable Me 3 was seven. Valerian, Baby Driver, and Wonder Woman were your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. You know, every stage musical now, I think, has to be based on a feature film. I think that's the new law on
okay.
Broadway. And we've got the latest one. Here's the news. Stage musical based on... There's Something About Mary, the Farrelly Brothers movie starring Ben Stiller and Cameron Diaz from 1998.
What?
Will be mounted as a stage musical. What's that in your hair?
I was going to ask what they're going to say.
What's hanging off your ear? It's. Right?
Mm-mm.
I don't think we need it.
Well, Peter Farrelly told the New York Daily News that it'll be at least 2 or 3 years before you actually get to see anything. So,
okay,
you can work up your excitement and your anticipation over the next couple of years.
Okay.
Anybody?
No, but you know what's funny? I mean, you said at the beginning of that story that they make everything that's a movie into a play. It's because people like familiar, and even the best reviewed plays, the ones that are winning the Tonys and stuff like that, are having trouble sometimes staying on Broadway. I mean, it's really tough to get people to go see something unfamiliar, which is very sad.
But there's no guarantee that if you make a movie based on Something About Mary, that people are going to go rush.
Certainly
to see
not.
It.
Mm. Certainly
Rocky
not.
Failed at the box office.
Yeah.
On Broadway. And yet Hamilton, not based on a feature film, to the best of my knowledge, did okay for itself.
Yes. Yeah.
It did okay.
Certainly there are exceptions.
Do better and worry less about the name on the marquee and worry more about the quality of the work that you do. My advice.
Okay.
It's a good tip.
I think so. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You going to vote for him as our next president?
It depends. I may.
Kevin always votes for comedy.
What do we have to lose now?
It depends on who else is available.
What do we have to lose?
Kid Rock? Kanye? I don't know.
If it's The Rock versus Kid Rock, that's going to be confusing.
Rock. Just people will be just hidden rocks willy-nilly. Well, you know, Dwayne has a new movie coming out with Jack Black called Jumanji.
Uh-huh.
Dwayne may lose a couple votes after Jumanji comes out, judging from the trailer. But Jack Black was asked, you know, would he vote for Dwayne The Rock Johnson? And he said, like Kevin, I think he'd have to wait and see.
See if there's anyone funnier.
But Jack said that he would not be up for the gig. He would not be running for president, Jack Black. I would vote for Jack Black.
Same.
He said that he would have to retire from movies, first of all, which he wouldn't like. He said he'd have to put 10 or 20 years of research into how the world works before he took a shot. And then he said, God forbid you get an idiot in the White House who doesn't know how to do S. You'd really be in trouble, Jack said. So I think he's got a point. And along those lines, Paul McCartney has announced he has a song in the works.
Oh, man.
Based around President Donald Trump. He was speaking to students at the Liverpool Institute of the Performing Arts. And he said, sometimes the situation in the world is so crazy, you've got to address it. No word on the title or release date for that song, but he hinted that his new album will have a song about President Donald Trump.
What are the chances that's going to be a good song?
0%.
All good?
But you're saying all good because of 0%.
First of all,
he's a terrible.
I'm hoping it's a duet with Yoko.
He's a terrible songwriter these days.
What? Come on.
He writes children's tunes now. Yeah.
What about his homage to the vegans?
Meat Free Monday.
Meat Free Monday.
Free Monday.
It's a fun day.
It's a fun day.
And it's happening all around the
world.
Yeah, he's just whatever comes to his head, he thinks is a song.
First of all, why wouldn't you want a day to be fun, Kevin? What do you have against a fun day?
Especially on a Monday,
right?
I'm fine. Yeah.
I think
with
he's
a
really
fun
helping
day.
Us out.
Yeah. Yeah,
what about?
Queenie Eye, who's got the ball?
He's
terrible. I don't even know what any of those words were together.
He's terrible.
That was a rhyme that he used to say as a boy in Liverpool. They used to play a game called Queenie Eye where you had to hide the ball from your friends.
Okay, leave that as a sweet memory.
Queenie Eye, who's got the ball?
Good Lord, that's real?
I haven't got it. It isn't in my pocket. O-U-T spells out.
No!
He's terrible.
He's the best.
Do not agree.
He's the best. Goddamn legend. And I, for one, cannot wait to hear his homage.
It is crazy that he's written some of the best songs of all time and some of the worst songs of all time.
Yeah, that's a gift.
Someone's knocking at my door.
Bean likes
that song. Somebody's ringing the bell.
America likes
that song.
And then what?
Someone's knocking at the door.
Right?
Somebody's ringing the bell.
And what should we do about it?
Do me a favor.
Right?
Open the door.
Okay.
No.
And let him in.
That's a song.
No.
That's not a song. That's someone's coming to your house for a party.
Right. But I'm saying Paul McCartney thinks that's a song, as does Bean.
I stand by that one.
As does America. Again, I remind you.
There was a doorbell on it in the production. Really brought it home for me.
But Sister Susie and Brother John, right?
Martin Luther, Killer and Don.
Phil and Don. I think that was his tribute to the Everly Brothers, Phil and Don.
We don't even know.
These are lyrics, really?
Yes.
That you're doing?
He was naming the people who were coming to the party.
Okay.
Right?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
How about hands above the water, heads above the sky? How about that one?
I don't remember.
Uncle Albert, one of the best songs ever.
Oh.
Tremendous song.
Thank you, Rick Dees.
The butter wouldn't melt, so I put it in a pie. This is Let Him In.
The
See,
doorbell
that's the doorbell at the beginning of the song.
Right?
No, this song is crap.
At least he hits the same piano chord over and over and over.
It doesn't have the most complex melody he's ever written, but it serves the song,
which is
you
terrible.
You need to be served by a bag in the desert. That's what you need to be served by.
All right, let's pay attention to the lyrics
Okay,
now.
Here we go.
All right.
Someone knocking at the door.
Okay.
Somebody ringing the bell.
Okay, new verse.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Right.
Okay.
Somebody's ringing
what do you
the
do
bell.
When someone's ringing the bell?
Do me a favor.
Huh?
Open the door and let him in.
That was a song.
And you're standing by that beat.
I am. I like it very much. It's not a complicated plot line.
Really?
It's just a simple story about a guy sitting around and people coming to his house. But somehow Paul McCartney makes that good.
No.
Great melody, great singing, great production. I like it.
Get his Wigstock out of here.
Right.
Now hiring both locations.
We spoiled him. That's the problem. We spoiled him. He was with the Beatles. We bought everything he put out. And he thought, oh, it's all good then. Because we're all high and stuff. No one knew what was happening in the 60s. Everybody was tripping.
Right.
On button caps or whatever the hell they were taking back then in the 60s. Oh, you hippies who ruined it for everybody.
So they all made Paul McCartney think that he was
right,
putting out gold.
Talented.
All right.
He was putting out garbage then, but no one had called him on it. Will you still need me when I'm 64? Shut up! Someone should have said. But no. They just bought his albums, man.
Now you're poop.
I mean, period. Hippies. I've been
right?
saying that my whole life.
Exactly.
I've been saying it until I die. Hippies.
Yep.
Yeah. You're now pooping on the Sgt. Pepper album. You know that's what's happening here, Ralph.
When I'm 64?
Yes.
Not a good song.
Great song.
Not.
Terrific song.
This is a great argument.
Will
I know
that. Will
you
still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Those are the lyrics?
Yes.
Being? What?
You guys don't get
Will
that.
You still need me? Will you still feed me, Bean? You're standing up for that.
Absolutely.
Fire must cleanse us.
What happens between 63 and 64 that you are no longer able
feed
to
yourself.
Feed yourself?
I know. It's bad news. And now he's like 87. Apparently still feeding himself. Given it's all vegetables on Mondays.
Sure.
That's all we know.
Not answering
Burn
his door,
it down.
Tell you that.
Burn it to the ground.
Right.
Right. All right, I'm running late. Today's celebrity birthdays: Mark Cuban's 59 years old. Wesley Snipes is 55. J.K. Rowling, 52. Dean Cain's 51. B.J. Novak, 38 years old today. M. Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold, 36 years old. Enrico Rodriguez from Modern Family's 19 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a new limited edition T-shirt that's going to go on sale Thursday with this slogan. With this slogan.
Oh, was that you asking me to hit the thing?
With the slogan that goes...
This was a success.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that was
and
a success. That,
just like it.
See,
that pitch right there was a success.
Go to KevinB.com or on the social media. We've got pictures of it up. It is a limited edition available only for 24 hours. All right, starting Thursday. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the
you
SoCal...
You are the Paul McCartney of radio, sir.
From the SoCal helpful Honda dealers tomorrow morning and all new...
I do feel like for the rollout of the T-shirt,
yeah,
that was not a success.
I mean...
Yeah. I do feel like that was kind of thrown away, Kevin. It's a big deal.
I had to ask for the drop three times.
We'll try,
what do you want from me?
We'll
I didn't know
tomorrow.
You were going to ask
do it again tomorrow.
For it.
Let's try again
Look
tomorrow.
At your screen.
Let's try again tomorrow.
Look at the screen right in front of you in red, giant, bold letters.
Yeah, my screen is well past
Well,
that.
You're dumb.
The only thing on my screen is it says, bye, I am leaving the show. That's the only thing I can see on my screen.
24 hours, Thursday. I'm all confused now.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
They go until
Thursday for 24 hours.
Yes.
24 hours now, and then Thursday.
Nope.
And
24 hours,
well,
Thursday.
We
well,
get
maybe we should talk about it Thursday.
Thursday.
Maybe we should talk about it Thursday when there's 24 hours left.
Okay. All right. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show from Animal Kingdom, one of our favorite programs. We have actor Jake Weary in the studio. We have The Bachelorette Report. With Petros and Ralph.
I'm in the Animal Kingdom.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have Would You Like to Take That Back? And this one was with Extreme Prejudice. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
That's dumb.
You're dumb.
Your face is dumb.
LA and OC's alternative rock.
K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.